You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine, your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Monday show. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales of MassLive.com, Jay King of The Athletic. We just watched the Patriots, so we're excited about that. And we're going to try to like refocus on basketball. The Celtics had a pretty nice week. It started with a bad loss to the Nets, but then they've won three in a row. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Marcus Smart's ejection, and we'll hand out our tacos. We'll probably do some Patriots stuff. But
oh, we will definitely do some Patriots stuff.
Sure.
I will demand Patriots chatter.
Okay. So look. If nothing else, we give in completely to Jay King's demands on this podcast. So
I have a mic. There's nothing you can do when I have a mic.
Well, I mean, I'm editing the thing, so I can completely edit you out of the entire podcast.
Okay, fair.
So, I mean, this could just be me talking and tossing to you and then silence if we wanted it to be.
I'm sure that would be a fantastic podcast.
It would be. In fact, it's going to happen right now. All right, that was great. Let's get into really the big story here is Marcus Smart, who got tossed from the Celtics game against the Atlanta Hawks. And what's there are two interesting things here, Jay. First, that he seemed cool until the second tech, and he realized, oh, I'm getting tossed. Well, I'm just going to lose my shit. But also, I can hear you inhaling like you have
yep.
a take.
I do have a take.
Which we'll get to. But also, secondly, him getting tossed seemed to like fire up the Celtics. So two takes, two avenues, two roads. But you had a take, so.
So I think he was already on edge.
Oh,
like
definitely.
He had picked up his third and fourth fouls. The Celtics had decided, you know what? Marcus Smart's a guard, but we're going to have him guard John Collins, who's a center anyway, because he's Marcus Smart and we can do that. And then even though he had just picked up his third and fourth fouls, he battled with Collins down low and drew an offensive foul on a play that was like they were both just shoving each other and Collins seemed to shove last. And then a short time later, you know, he's standing there next to Bembry. And I didn't honestly think Marcus Smart's second technical foul was worthwhile. Like, that might have set him off, to be honest. The fact that he and Bembry were just chatting, and it wasn't that much, but the ref came in, gave them both double techs, and then Marcus Smart lost it. And it was almost an ugly scene. It really was. It was a lot like the J.R. Smith preseason scene where Marcus Smart charged at J.R. Smith and a whole lot of dudes tried to stop Marcus Smart from charging at another player. And this time again, Jason Tatum, the hero.
Right.
like if it weren't for Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart might have gotten to Bembry and it could have been a lot uglier. As it was, Jason Tatum once again ended Marcus Smart's plan to go after another player. So Jason Tatum deserves a lot of credit for being a hero. Honestly, that's got to be like just a stressful time as a teammate when Marcus, when you see Marcus Smart like rev up and his eyes are wide and he's going after another guy and you're like, oh God, I'm the only one who can stop this very, very angry man.
Right. I've got to catch this bull that's escaped his pen. I've got to like grab it by the horns and wrestle it down. In that preseason game, there was that picture. It was Tatum and Rozier who both like tackled Marcus Smart on the sideline. I agree. I think it's a good point. And I wrote this on Mass Live. So there's a rookie official. His name is Fenizi Ransom. This is his first year as a.
Are you sure that's how you say it?
I am not sure.
Just wanted to check if Fenizi was for sure the name.
But Fenizi, it's P H E N I Z E. Maybe it's.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I saw the name too.
Fenizi or Fenizi, either one. His last name's Ransom.
So he's finesse.
maybe. But he's a rookie NBA official. And so I really believe that if Ransom, I'll just go by the last name that I know I can pronounce, if he had stepped in and done what I think a veteran official would have done, would be like, shut the fuck up or I'm going to toss you. And Marcus Smart probably would have put his hands up and be like, okay. But once he hit him with the second tech, then Smart was like, well, all right, I'm just going to earn this then. And that's bad. Marcus Smart should not have done that. And he is his own worst enemy in times like this. Like, he needs to find a way to channel this differently. But that, I believe, was a miscalculation on the official's part. That the official jumped in and gave, like, the double tech in that situation is supposed to calm things down. But because Marcus Smart already had a tech and he said, well, I'm out. I'm done. Now forget it. I'm unhinged, untethered. You will know my rage. And, I think that the officials and Mr. Ransom miscalculated this and made things worse rather than did what they thought they were supposed to do to control the situation. But that's not to excuse Marcus Smart, because that was a very, very bad reaction.
Do you think Smart gets suspended?
At this point, I think he gets a game. I think one game is probably fair.
Yeah, that's kind of how I looked at it, too, because last time, the J.R. Smith thing, he didn't get suspended. And I kind of thought it was like, okay, even if he intended to go after J.R. Smith, even if he intended to go after Bembry, like, he didn't get there. He didn't actually do anything. And I'm not sure you can judge intent, but when it becomes a pattern and this dude is like bull charging after guys on the opponent team more than once, I think at some point the NBA league office is probably going to step in and give Marcus Smart a game.
I think the key difference here is that he was ejected. And unlike the J.R. Smith thing, he wasn't ejected at that point. But prior to him making that move, in this case, he was ejected. And from the league perspective was, the officials made a call, you were ejected, and there was a full 30 seconds between the time you knew you were ejected, and by the time you decided, I'm making a run at Bembry. So the league can say, you didn't leave the court in a timely manner, you knew you were gone, and yet you still chose to escalate the situation. So even if you consider, or even if you throw out the prior incident, the league can say, you were ejected. You knew you should have left the court at that point. You not only didn't leave the court in a timely manner, you made a run at the player. And that alone, I think, is worth the single game suspension, regardless of whether he thinks the two fouls that were called against him were bullshit, regardless of whether he thinks the second tech was bullshit. And you can argue that both of those files were, and you can definitely argue, I think the second tech was definitely not warranted. I think there was a much better way to handle that. But at the same time, it is incumbent on Marcus Smart to say, okay, whatever, like, I gotta go. Because,
and also, to me, like, Smart realized the Celtics had no energy. And that's why he upped it the way he did. That's why he was,
okay,
he got his first tactical, and that's why he was jostling with Collins for position, and that's why he was chirping at people. Smart realized the whole team needed energy. And I don't know whether, like, obviously he got to a point where he couldn't control his emotions the way he should have. But to me, he ratcheted up because he was like, you know what? My team needs it. We're on the second night of a back-to-back. We need a jolt. And I'm going to be the one to give it to us. And I think he did. Obviously, he did.
You know what? That's a fair point. That's a good point. Because, and this is where it gets so sketchy with these conversations. Because when you get yourself worked up into a lather like that, like, again, an excellent point in that, the Celtics were just not there with the energy. So Marcus Smart and Brian Scalabrine was saying it throughout the entire thing. There are no fans here to create this energy. You have to create your own energy. And that's what Marcus Smart was doing. And when you whip yourself into that lather, there is some level of emotional kind of irrational excitement, for lack of a better term, this level where he has to get himself where he can't do the things that I'm saying he should do, which is bring himself back to center and say, okay, it's over. I gotta like move on and not do this thing. And after he was ejected, the Celtics actually stepped up their own energy. So you could, and without knowing Smart and without talking to him, you could say maybe he sacrificed himself with this crazy outburst to really amp up the energy.
Yeah, I don't think that was planned. Like, he planned to amp up the energy.
There were 30 seconds of him just standing there.
But he planned to amp up the energy. He got to a point where that wasn't like, okay, let's get my team excited. That was far beyond that.
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe. You're probably right. I don't know. But
the best part of all of it, though, was Terry Rozier getting asked about it after the game while he was on the court with NBC Sports Boston. No, he had to hold back laughter when he was asked about it. Like, they were asking about Marcus Smart's ejection, and he almost just started laughing in the middle of the question. Like, ha, 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 that was crazy. Yeah.
That's Marcus. Yeah. All right, so that's Marcus Smart. I would expect, and this is the Monday podcast, maybe by the time you listen to this, we'll know the answer, but we're recording this. At this point, it's about midnight on Sunday night, and so we don't know what the answer is. It's a 6 p.m. game, so it's an early game for the Celtics on Martin Luther King Day, which is a big, big day for the NBA. So Celtics Heat at 6 p.m. We don't know at this point whether it's going to involve Marcus Smart, but we'll figure that out. And so when we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the actual games. So that's the Marcus Smart conversation. When we come back, actual game talk about the Celtics in a winning streak and winning on the road, which is very, very important. And then a little later on, tacos. So stick around. We'll come back pretty quickly here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So lost in all of this is the Celtics' first win on the road in the calendar year 2019. They beat the Hawks 113-105. It's part of a three-game winning streak. They beat the Toronto Raptors. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies. So, Jay, this manic Celtics team, they had a win streak at home. They had a win streak on the road, a losing streak on the road. And then now they beat the Hawks. Brad Stevens called this a good win. Do you agree that this is a good win for the Celtics?
It was a good win, not a crisp win. Obviously,
I didn't ask about any crisp shit.
I'm saying it was a good win. It wasn't crisp though. Like their first half, they gave up a ton of layups and dunks. Their defense was bad. They needed Kyrie to go bonkers and have 23 points in the first half just to keep them close. But at the same time, they fought out of that. And they did it on the road, and they did it on the second night of a back-to-back, and they did it against the Hawks, who, granted, don't have the best record and, granted, aren't the best team in the East, but have been pretty good lately and have really put it on some teams, including the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it's kind of like to win ugly for this Celtics team. And sometimes ugly means you don't have your defense. Sometimes ugly means you don't have your legs on a lot of shots. Sometimes ugly means you're on the second night of a back-to-back and you're in Atlanta and you're down 16. And that's what that meant that night for the Celtics. And so to get a win in that situation, that's the type of situation the Celtics haven't dug themselves out of a lot this year. And so I can see how Brad Stevens probably liked that a lot more than some of the W's where they've just kind of won handily and won by 15 or controlled most of the game and won by 17. Like to get that win where you're not at your best and you're down 16 and you're still down at halftime and Marcus Smart gets ejected and you need Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown to give you great things off the bench. That's the type of win this Celtics team kind of needs to me. They need the wins where they're not at their best and they need to dig themselves out of things and they need to just find a way. And they just kind of found a way. And, you know, when they needed their defense, they got it. The Hawks went scoreless for almost 5 minutes down the stretch. Almost 5 minutes. And so to me, that's a good W. It doesn't matter who that's against. That's a good W.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important for Celtics fans to understand what the Hawks have been doing recently. And it's easy to laugh at the Hawks, but at 14-31, sure, they've not been great, but they were, I believe, 8-7 in their last, whatever, 15 games. So they had a decent stretch, and most recently before the Celtics loss, they had won 2 of 3. They'd beaten Philadelphia, they had beaten Oklahoma City. You go back a little bit further, they'd beaten Miami in January. Go back into the end of December, they beat Minnesota in overtime. They have wins over Detroit, New York, Washington, Denver. They have a win over Denver in December. So they've beaten decent teams.
You just got deep into the Hawks history.
Yeah. I've pulled up their schedule. So I'm just making myself look good. So the Hawks have good wins on their roster, on their schedule. And they had some health back in this game. They had Taurean Prince back in this game. They also have some really good talent. Like John Collins is very, very good. Trae Young can be pretty good, and from the Hawks' perspective, I hope that they don't regret the Doncic trade. But Trae Young can be pretty good, and like I said, Collins and to have Herter, my God, that kid can shoot. So they
Let's calm down.
He can shoot.
No, I mean you just went way overboard on the Hawks' talent.
Wait, did I?
Oh, yes.
So are you saying Collins is not good?
Collins is okay. At this point, he could become pretty damn good.
Collins is good. And Herter is good. He can shoot. Herter has shot extraordinarily well against the Celtics. Like, they've got some good young talent.
They're phenomenal. Cannot believe how much talent they have. Almost like the Warriors.
J. King, everybody.
at least like the Rockets. Or the Raptors.
They've got some talent. And they've been playing well. And for this, they had a few days off before the Celtics game, and the Celtics were there on the back-to-back. And for the Celtics, without Marcus Smart, without Gordon Hayward, who's expecting a baby, that was a better win than I think going into it people realized. So that was a nice road win. I'm not going to blow it up to make it like into some big crazy, like, oh my God, this is amazing. But it's a nice road win.
I'll say this. Last year, people expected the Celtics to win ugly. And so when the Celtics won ugly, it was like, cool, the Celtics won ugly. Now if the Celtics win ugly, it's like, why didn't the Celtics win pretty? And so I feel like there's a totally different way to judge this year's team than last year. And maybe that's fair because everyone's healthy and the younger guys are a year older. And maybe they should be judged on a different level than last year's team. But at the same time, it's like when last year's team had stretches of ugliness, and last year's team had stretches of ugliness, man. Like last year's team was born in ugliness.
Right.
And granted, they still won a lot of games, and they still finished in second in the East, and they still ended up making it to the Eastern Conference Final. Like last year's team was about as good as last year's team could have been. But that team was born in ugly. And this year, fans are just not ready to accept ugly anymore. And so I think that there's a totally different like basis of judging this year's team. And I think to some extent that's fair. But I also think like when you get a W, and sometimes a lot of the time lately, the Celtics haven't gotten road W's. The road has been tough for the Celtics this year. But those ugly wins are kind of what defined the Celtics last year and why they ended up getting as many W's as they did. So any ugly win is a good one.
Absolutely. I agree. This goes a little bit to Kyrie Irving's point that he's been making earlier this season, that it's based on expectations. When there are no expectations on you, it's very, very easy to perform beyond whatever you think that you should be. So when the Celtics got down 27 in, you know, during last season, it's like, all right, we're down 27. We're supposed to lose this game anyway. And they play free and they make a comeback. This season, when they're down 27, it's the end of the damn world. Down 27 in this season, it doesn't even matter who it's against. It could be against the Warriors. It could be against the Hawks. It could be against the Bulls. If you're down 27, it is the absolute end of the world, and every mistake is magnified. And that's because of expectations, because the Celtics came into this season with the expectation of being awesome. And when you have that expectation of being awesome, every mistake is just a bad thing. You can't be imperfect. You have to win every game by 30, and your losses can only come to the Warriors or to a team that has a possibility of beating you. And even in those losses, you have to play perfectly, and the other team just has to beat you by being more perfect. So it's a matter of expectations. So this, it's hard for people to say, oh, this Hawks win was a good win, because the Hawks are terrible And the Celtics, regardless of who they're missing, they should wax the Hawks. But this was a decent win. This was, considering the way they played, considering the way they came out, considering the back-to-back and all that other stuff, the fact that they took all of those punches and they looked like crap and they still came back to win, that's a good thing for these Celtics.
Facts. Facts. This is not bored, Jay King. This is agreeing, Jay King.
We are not bored when we take this break. We're going to take this break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to hand out tacos. And
I need to talk about the Patriots.
Yeah, we're going to do that. So we'll do that when we come back here on the Lockdown Celtics podcast. Hey, reminder, if you have a smart speaker, if you got a smart speaker for your holidays or your birthday or whatever, if you have one sitting there, you can wake it up and say, play podcast, and then say Lockdown Celtics. And then it could be any other podcast, too. If you have other podcasts that you listen to.
You shouldn't listen to other podcasts.
No, you can. You can.
No.
As long as you listen to us, too. Like, don't listen to Jay. Jay's, listen to me. You can listen to other podcasts. As long as you listen to us first, it's fine.
Cheaters.
Wake it up and say, play podcast. And then the name of your podcast, which should be first Locked On Celtics. So do that. We're coming right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Every Monday podcast, we do a thing where we hand out our awards for the week. This year, we call it the taco thing. We call it our tacos because Jason Tatum enjoys tacos and he shares his taco pictures on Instagram. It used to be the mystery machine because Jaylen Brown was pictured next to the Scooby-Doo mystery machine. And then Aaron Baines is Australian and we did the big Australian boat. Now we're doing tacos because that's our thing. So 3 years in a row, three different ways to hand out awards. So this week, Jay, a loss to Brooklyn, which I'm just completely throwing out. We got wins over Toronto.
Oh, we're just ready to throw it out.
Yeah, because we got 75% of this week has been good. So I'm throwing out 25% of it and saying that Toronto, Memphis, and the Atlanta game big taco awards. And so obviously, so Kyrie Irving gets his spot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. When you have 27 and 18 and then 38 and 11 and then what do you have, 32 and 5 against the Hawks? Yeah. Give him as many tacos as he wants.
Right. So next.
And he even apologized to the Young Bucks.
He did. It was a big growth moment for him. Despite what national media idiots would say, that this was a growth moment for him. And it was taken as such. I'll leave it at that. Next.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm giving Al Horford a taco. Al Horford against the Toronto Raptors had 24 points and 7 rebounds against the Memphis Grizzlies. He shot 80% and had 18 points against Atlanta. Not as great a shooting night, 13 points, but also 9 rebounds. But my favorite part of the entire week
was when he smoked his layup.
No, that was very, very bad. That was very bad. My favorite part of the week was with like 39 seconds left in that win against Atlanta when I forget who scored, but Al Horford took the foul in the layup. And he turns around to his teammates and he says, "We got to match up. We got to match up. This game's not over." It's a like that big like leadership moment there where he's like trying to get everybody to say, "Hey, come on, wake up. This Celtics team has a problem with just letting up the absolute instant where they feel like, oh, okay, we're good." And they let up that millisecond that it happens. And granted that at that point it was probably over, but I really liked that moment where Al Horford was like yelling at his teammates on the floor.
See, my favorite was by far when he smoked the lamp, because that just I have smoked lamps, and I'm not gonna lie.
We all have.
I'm not gonna lie. Since my knee got bad, then my knee's gonna get good again. I'm on the comeback trail. Don't get it twisted. But since my knee got bad, I've lost all balance and like legitimately smoked lamps regularly. And so Al Horford made me feel better by being wide open under the hoop by himself. And I'm not even sure he touched the rim. So
no.
Thank you, Al Horford, for making me feel better about myself.
Welcome to the January.
And he still got points. He still ended up getting the rebound and drawing a foul and getting 2 points out of it.
Mm-hmm. No, but I did. I'm just enjoying the January 22nd podcast where Jay King compares himself offensively to Al Horford.
I was just saying I smoke a lot of layups. He smoked one. I smoked many.
That was pretty funny. It was pretty bad. And I honestly, when I saw that, I'm like, well, if I can do it and Al Horford can do it, then I guess it shit happens. But yeah, that was kind of funny. But I enjoyed the Al Horford moment where he was kind of like getting on his teammates. You never see that, not publicly anyway. So Al Horford gets a taco. Does anyone else, Jay, get a taco for you?
I'm trying to decide whether anyone else deserves a taco.
So Gordon Hayward, no. He had one good game. Does Jaylen Brown get a taco? Jaylen Brown against Toronto had some moments. He was very good against Atlanta in the fourth quarter.
See, Jaylen has been what people should expect from Jaylen this season, I think.
You know who gets
like, he's been good. He's been good for a while.
He has been. Maybe not taco worthy, but you know who does get a taco?
Aaron Baines.
I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
Aaron Baines returns.
Aaron Baines gets a taco. That is absolutely correct. I will give you that. Aaron Baines gets a taco.
Just for returning and just for remembering how to tip in left hand and put back left.
But yes, but also Aaron Baines came in against Toronto and was a monster in changing the energy of the game. Against the Grizzlies, the same thing. He came in and changed the energy of the game. I'm very, very well aware of what Baines was able to do in these games. So he gets a taco. And also, in the same vein, Terry Rozier gets a taco because he, in the losses to Miami, Orlando, and Brooklyn, he was very, very bad. But somehow, I don't know who got the message to him or whatever, but in the following games against Toronto, Memphis, and Atlanta, he came in and in all three games afterwards, Brad Stevens, Al Horford, other guys made sure to single him out as coming in to change the energy defensively, coming in to pick up full court against Toronto, against Memphis, coming in to defend and do it. Just a great job defensively in those three wins. What I love most is that Terry Rozier earns the taco by not trying to earn the taco. And it's not to say that he is.
It's not to say that he's been hung up with earning the taco.
It's not to say that he's really listening to this podcast and saying, I got to earn this goddamn taco. But what I mean by earning the taco is by focusing on his offensive numbers. He hasn't been focused on his offensive numbers. And this is the absolute lesson for him to learn, is that when you try, and this is the greater lesson for younger players, and this is the Kyrie Irving point. When you go out and try especially hard to go for your own offensive numbers, it's going to go so badly enough of the time where it's counterproductive. when you go out and just play the way the Celtics need you to play, it will be recognized, especially in Boston, where Terry Rozier's energy over the past three games, despite him not fulfilling his statistical needs and putting up numbers that make it look like he's playing some sort of great offensive, he has been fantastic in these past three games, and he has been critical to the Celtics' three wins in the past three games. And I am just hoping that he understands that by playing this way in these three games, by playing this way moving forward, he will get much more credit. And eventually, the ball will come his way and he will score many more points than he would otherwise playing selfishly. And I just hope that he understands that this is the way he should play, and this is how he's going to earn his money wherever he goes. I know he's not going to be on the Celtics next year. I know he's going to go somewhere else. Playing this way is how he's going to earn his money and show another team that he can do whatever it takes to win games. When he starts, generally, that Brooklyn game aside, he's playing well, and you can put up the offensive numbers. When he's playing another role, he can be this guy. This is the Terry Rozier that we need, and this is the Terry Rozier that's going to go earn good money in the offseason.
I just want to talk about the Patriots now.
Okay, moving on. First of all, are there no more tacos?
There are definitely no more tacos.
Yeah, that's fine. There are no more tacos.
I agree.
There are no more tacos.
We have exhausted the tacos.
Okay, Patriots.
Except for the taco that the Patriots earned.
Tom Brady gets a taco.
And so does Rob Gronkowski.
And Julian Edelman.
And so does Julian Edelman. And so does Bill Belichick. And so does Brian Flores, who the Patriots should pay out the ass to keep as a defensive coordinator. What a win. What a win. I was so nervous during that game.
I feel like we're in the same boat here. When we watch the Celtics, like, we're so invested, but like, we're so technically invested. We're breaking things down. Like, there's no real fandom necessarily.
I'm not a fan of the Celtics. I grew up a fan of the Celtics. I'm no longer a fan of the Celtics.
Like,
I'm a fan of the Patriots.
But like, isn't it fun to watch a game, a sporting event, and just be like a fan? Like,
just be able to lose your shit. Yes.
Right, yeah. Like, this is.
But it's also horrible.
It is. Like, watching the Celtics, like, I'm sitting there at the games. Like, we're both sitting there. You're sitting in front of me at when we're in the media section, and we're watching them play the Grizzlies. And like, Jaylen Brown goes in for a dunk, and like, there's no reaction. Like, we're just like, okay, how did that happen? Like, there's no, it's all technical. We're all breaking things down. That's how it's supposed to be. Like, we can't be, like, we have a little bit of a slant here on the podcast, but it's so much fun. Like, I love watching sports just to be an irrational fan. And the less I know about the sport, the better. So yeah,
I was getting out hot takes on the Patriots all day. I wanted to live that fan life for a little while.
Yeah, it's great. Like, especially like the Bruins. Like, I like hockey. And hockey is the hardest thing to watch because it runs concurrent to the Celtics season, and it's not like football where it's just every Sunday. Like, hockey happens on the same night as the Celtics. Like,
hockey sucks
80% of the time.
Hockey sucks.
Hockey is great. Hockey is so much fun.
I will not stand for that type of take on this podcast.
No. Hockey is a fucking awesome game, man. Hockey is awesome. Like, it's a great, great, great game.
All right, back to Brady, though.
No.
Brady ruined Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But Brady and Belichick game planned so that the Patriots would hold the ball for 90 minutes, and they game plan so that they would have a chance down the stretch, and they trusted that Tom Brady would come through, as he did, converting three consecutive third and tens in overtime.
Yep.
He's an absolute joke. And every time it seemed he was going back to Old Faithful, it was Rob Gronkowski. It was Julian Edelman. Yeah. It was Rob Gronkowski again. The guys he trusts. The guys that he goes to.
And then, I just love Gronk. Gronk's like RoboCop at this point, man. That dude is just, I mean, I kind of almost hope he retires at the end of this, because, like, I don't know that he has much left, but that was just so great. It was just so great to watch him find Gronk over and over again. Like, I hope he finds Gronk for a couple of touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Like, that's just going to be so fun.
Mahomes is petrifying, though, man.
Mahomes is so good. Like,
because, you know, any play, it could be a touchdown. Yeah. Doesn't matter where he is on the field. Yeah. That thing could be going to the house. Like him, Tyreek Hill, a lot of those guys, that thing could be gone. And the Patriots just kind of dinked and dunked and handed the ball off, and Sony Michel was fantastic. And I was sitting there almost puking, but also super excited, but also almost puking. And that was kind of how my day went.
I almost feel like that Brady watching Mahomes is like Larry Bird watching Chris Webber in the Team USA practices, where he was like, back in 92, when he was like, if this is where the NBA is going, I got to get out of here. Like, if this is where the NFL is going, if Mahomes is the future of the NFL, like, I got to get out. Like,
first of all, Larry Bird would have leaked on Chris Webber forever.
But that's, I'm relaying an actual story.
Yeah, well, he still would have.
I'm just saying. I'm telling you an actual story.
I'm just saying. And Tom Brady, 41, is leaking on Mahomes.
I just love the fact that a 40-year-old is in the Super Bowl. It's just
41.
41.
He's as old as Vince Carter. Like, people are stunned when Vince Carter dunks the ball.
This dude's.
And meanwhile, Tom Brady has been to three straight Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah. And I need Advil to go up the stairs.
So that roughing the passer, by the way, was just a glorious, glorious call.
Oh, my God. That was the worst. That was a worse call than the non-pass interference in New Orleans.
I think it was just as bad. Both of them were totally unforgivable.
Those were just horrible calls.
Totally unforgivable calls. Yeah. And then Edelman, I mean, I can't believe he didn't touch that. But also, like,
that was some Matrix shit. Like, that was.
But he tried to touch it. He wanted to touch it.
He tried very hard. He just missed it.
Yeah. By like a quarter centimeter.
Fraction of a centimeter. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many Patriots wins over the years have been like a quarter centimeter determined whether a call went their way or did not go their way?
So many. So many.
And that's just kind of how it goes. But when you put yourself in position to win every year, that's just what happens.
You make your own luck. That's the exact cliche. You make your own luck. And that just means you work hard. And when the shit hits the fan, you're in a position to take advantage of it. And whatever. So the ball barely. Look, and then. But then the next play, like, we're two plays later, the ball actually went off Edelman's hands and tipped into an interception. So. It all works out, but whatever.
It all works out.
It all works out for Brady.
He's a legend. No lie. I swear to God, the first time I felt comfortable all day, like, they're up 14-0 at halftime. I'm not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable until it was overtime, and CBS put up the stat. Tom Brady is 2-0 in overtimes. No quarterback has ever won three overtime playoff games. That was when I knew.
That's it.
All that guy does is set records. All he does is set records. If that was the one record he doesn't have at this point, he was going to get it. And sure enough, Mahomes never got the ball back in the overtime. Tom delivered. His numbers on the overtime drive were like, he was like 4 for 9.
It's crazy.
And it didn't even look good, but whatever. The guy always gets it done. It doesn't freaking matter. he always gets it done. He threw a terrible interception. You know what? It doesn't matter, because in the fourth quarter and overtime, whenever the Patriots freaking needed him, he was money. Nothing derails him. And you know what? We're going to bring it back to the Celtics. Brad Stevens has shown the Celtics, like, he's talked to them about Brock Holt. Brock Holt, of all people, for hitting for the cycle and then going back to the bench the next day. He should show them Tom Brady. Tom Brady threw the worst pick probably of his career. That was just an atrocious, abominable pick in the end zone with a chance to go up two touchdowns in the AFC Championship game. He never lets anything affect him. Celtics need that mentality. I'm bringing it back to the Celtics. This is just a brilliant point by me. Brilliant point.
We're going to end it on the brilliant point by the kid. Just leave it there. I hope all of you listeners, even maybe you're non-Patriots fans, if you're just a fan of football, there are Patriots, Locked On Patriots. If you're a fan of the Patriots, go search for them. If you are a fan of other teams, if you're a fan of the Rams, go search for Locked On Rams. Locked On NFL exists as well. So go do that. Of course, if you're a new listener, subscribe to our podcast. And if you are a regular listener, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating, good review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics. Millies. Brilliant.
Sometimes.
By the kid all around.
Sometimes you just spit out brilliance.
You know, you just can't help it. You just don't even know. It's just going to happen. You just spit it out, and there it is.
Sometimes you just run into brilliance and to share it with the world.
Oh, my God. Go to bed.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.